Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're looking at 1 Peter, Discipleship Lessons from the Fisherman, and this is Lesson 10, Leading with Humility, based on 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 6. Let's pray together. Father, we come again to you, asking you for your Spirit to work within our hearts and minds so that we might not just get enriched intellectually, but our heart and our will might be altered and changed because we've encountered you through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I've been around churches all my life. In that time I've seen lots of church leaders. Some have been wonderful men and women. Others have been small people trying to take advantage of a church leadership needs in order to project themselves larger than life. In this passage, the church's most celebrated apostle, Peter, talks straight to church leaders. Peter begins with an act of humility. Though he is an apostle and writes with apostolic authority, he humbles himself to the level of the church leaders themselves. He writes, verse 1, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will share in the glory to be revealed." He is not prefacing mere suggestions. He is exhorting. He is appealing to church leaders. Appeal, exhort, is the Greek verb parakaleo. The basic meaning is to call to one's side. Here it means to urge strongly, appeal to, urge, exhort, encourage. In other contexts, it can mean request, implore, entreat, and comfort, encourage, cheer up. Peter is in earnest. He identifies himself as a fellow elder and appeals to elders. Elder is the Greek noun presbyteros, from which we get our word Presbyterian. The basic meaning is pertaining to being relatively advanced in age, older, old. Then it is used as a title of an official, elder, presbyter. Among the Jews, the term elder was used as a title for members of local councils in individual cities, as well as members of a group in the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. The earliest Christian churches took over the synagogue form of government with a group or council of elders, usually led by a presiding elder. Peter also presents himself as an eyewitness, Greek martus, to Christ's sufferings, and one who will share in glory when Christ returns. Share, partaker, is an interesting word. The Greek koinonos means one who takes part in something with someone, a companion, partner, sharer. The root word koinos means pertaining to being of mutual interest or shared collectively, communal, common. A related word that you may have heard of is koinonia. Fellowship, communion, close association. Peter is affirming one of his most valued hopes. As a shareholder in the greatest gold mine of glory ever imagined, Christ returns in glory. He says, "I have a part in that." And so do you and I. After his prefacing remarks, Peter begins an appeal to the elders, verse 2. "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers." Notice three words that seem to be used synonymously in verses 1 and 2, and also in Acts 20, verses 17 and 28. Elders, shepherds or pastors, overseers, sometimes translated bishops. At this point in the history of the primitive church, all three words refer to the same group of church leaders. Elders, equal, pastors, shepherds, equal, overseers, bishops. Though the words are used synonymously here, each has its own special flavor. Be shepherds, feed, tend, is the Greek verb poimeno, to serve as a tender of sheep, herd, tend, lead to pasture, then extended figuratively to mean to watch out for other people, to shepherd, of activity that protects, rules, governs, fosters. Since the word pastor, Greek poimen, refers to one who shepherds and one who serves as a guardian or leader, we have in our passage a verb that could just as well be translated to pastor. Flock is the related Greek noun, poimnion. Flock, then, figuratively, a defined group of persons under a leader, flock. To be a shepherd means to assume the responsibility for caring for the sheep and all their needs, food, healing, help with giving birth, protection. A pastor, and in many cases a small group leader, assumes spiritual responsibility for God's people that have been placed in his or her charge. Are you an elder in your church? Your position is no hollow title. You have spiritual responsibilities under the senior pastor for the well-being of the flock. You are an under-shepherd. In addition to elders and pastors or shepherds, Peter refers to his fellow elders as overseers. Verse 2, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. Serving as overseers, taking, exercising the oversight, is the Greek verb episkopeo, from which we get our word episcopal. The main meaning is to give attention to, look at, take care of, see to it. Here it has the figurative meaning, to accept responsibility for the care of someone, oversee, care for. The noun episkopos is used in 1 Peter 2:25 of Jesus, guardian of the souls. Sometimes this word is translated bishop, but bishops in a hierarchical sense over presbyters or priests weren't present in the church until the 2nd century. If you are a pastor or a small group leader, then in some sense you too are an overseer and guardian. You watch over to care for the members and to make sure they are protected from threats within and without. Well, let's pause here for discussion question 1 based on 1 Peter 5, verses 1 and 2. What do you learn about the responsibilities of an elder from the definitions of elder, pastor, and overseer? What stood out to you as you considered these words? Well, now Peter moves from the functions of an elder to the attitudes required. I'm reading Chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Serving not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. The first characteristic is willingness. Peter uses contrasting words here to emphasize the point. Not because you must, but because you are willing. Because you must, by constraint, under compulsion, is the Greek adverb anakastos, by compulsion, from the noun anake, necessity, pressure, constraint. In many churches, I've heard this kind of plea from an elder or nominating committee member, won't you serve on the elder board? I put in my time. You don't have to do much, just attend 4 meetings a year, or we can't get anyone else to serve. You said you'd do it if no one else would, so you've got to. What a travesty in the church of the living God, that men and women must be manipulated by guilt or duty rather than from love of Christ to serve God's people. My dear friends, our churches would be much better off if we refused to take anyone in a leadership position unless they were willing and eager to serve Christ. Any other motive disqualifies a person from this office. Hey, excuse me for preaching, but I'm a preacher. Willingly is the Greek adverb eukosios, willing, without compulsion, that is, deliberately, intentionally. Well, let's pause here for discussion question 2 based on chapter 5, verse 2. What's wrong with the common practice in churches of twisting a person's arm to get him or her to serve as a church leader? What damage does this do to the church? What kind of leader does it produce? Watch out for ministers or any Christians who are out to get wealthy. Since elders often had responsibility for stewardship over church funds, it was important that they weren't people motivated by money. Greedy for money, for filthy lucre, for for sordid gain is the Greek adverb eiskronkerdos, in fondness for dishonest gain, greedily, from the noun meaning shamelessly greedy for money, avaricious, fond of dishonest gain, warned against in elders in 1 Timothy 3:8 and Titus 1:7. It is wrong for churches to be stingy in paying their pastors, just as wrong as it would be for an employer to pay an employee less than what he or she was worth. True, pastors need enough to live on if they are to serve a congregation well, but pastors who are always about money are likely to have a problem. Rather than serving for the sake of money, elders should be eager to serve, eagerly, of ready mind. These translate the Greek adverb prothumos, pertaining to being eager to be of service, ready, willing, eager. In other words, elders should be eager for service rather than eager for money. Power corrupts, the saying goes, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. If you've studied church history, you can find many, many examples of a domineering kind of leadership. Verse 3 says, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Lording it over is the Greek verb katakurioō, to bring into subjection, become master, gain dominion over, subdue. Then, have mastery, be master, lord it over, rule. Jesus warns specifically against this kind of leadership. When James and John were jockeying for places of power, Jesus used their power politics as an occasion to teach on leadership style. Mark 10:42-44. You know that those who were regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Contrary to the common type of self-centered rulers, Jesus insisted that the disciples adopt a servant leadership approach. Rather than ruling by fiat, they are to lead by example. Example, en samples, is the Greek noun typos, here used of the moral life, example, pattern. Sometimes church leaders act as if they own the church and that people are there to serve them, but it is the opposite. The leader, following Jesus' example, is to serve the people. Imagine Jesus washing Peter's feet as an act of humility, and you have the idea. Peter is echoing Jesus' own words on that occasion when he said, "You should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." John 13:14-15. It takes a humble leader to do this. Rather than owning the people are given as a portion or share for the leader to care for. Those entrusted to you, those in charge, God's heritage, is the noun kleros, lot, that which was thrown to make decisions. From this, the word means that which is assigned by lot, and then that which is given as a portion or share. In our verse, the word is in the plural, portions, referring to the flock as a whole, suggesting that the various parts of the people of God have been assigned as portions to individual elders or shepherds. Let's pause for discussion question 3, based on chapter 5, verse 3. How can we best keep elders and pastors from being power mongers? From limiting the pastor's authority? What's the danger here? From testing a person before bestowing authority? How can this be difficult? And how can we deal with this serious problem properly? Humility and service are the watchwords now, but glory is the promise when Christ appears, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Verse 4. Chief shepherd is the Greek noun archipoimen, from arche, beginning, first, and poimen, shepherd. Peter uses this term to remind fellow elders that none of them is the chief pastor, even though they might be a senior pastor. Christ is the ultimate pastor, the ultimate pastor to whom all pastors and leaders must answer and give account. The author of Hebrews says in 13:17a, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as ones who must give account." But with the responsibility also comes the reward. Crown is the Greek noun stephanos, a wreath made of foliage or designed to resemble foliage and worn by one of high status or held in high regard. Wreath, crown. No doubt Peter has this in mind because he refers to a crown that never fades, in contrast to an earthly wreath that does fade. Peter has admonished the elders themselves. Now he speaks to those under their charge. Verse 5a, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older." We in America are an independent lot. We don't like anyone to tell us what to do. But like the writer of Hebrews above, Peter commands Christians in the church to be submissive. Submit yourselves. Accept the authority of the elders. This is the Greek verb hypotasso that we saw previously in 1 Peter 2:18 and 3:1. Subject oneself, be subjected or subordinated, obey. Peter contrasts younger men with those who are older. But this is a play on words, since older, elder, elders, is the Greek noun presbyteros, elder, that we saw in verse 1, and refers, I believe, to a church leader, not just an older Christian. Even though elders have spiritual authority, which must be recognized and submitted to, elders aren't to be proud because they have power. Peter calls all his readers to mutual humility, quoting Proverbs 3:34. "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's almighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." That's verses 5 and 6. "Clothe yourselves" is the Greek ekambuomai, to put or tie something on oneself, put on, from en, plus kambos, band. Humility is to be worn like a garment. When we begin the day in dress, we must also be careful to include an attitude of humility. Humility is the Greek noun tapeiophrosune, humility, modesty, related to the adjective tapenos, to be of low social status, then unpretentious, humble, later in this verse, and the verb tapeano in verse 6, to cause to be or become humble in attitude, humble, make humble. Jesus described himself as humble or meek in heart in Matthew 11:28. Would that all God's leaders remember who God is and who they are, who they really are. Might they realize that all they have is a gift from God, and the people are a trust from God. This is nothing to get big-headed about. It is a cause to lean heavily on the Lord for strength to lead well. Peter himself had been a blowhard and a braggart. He had learned humility through what he had suffered and through God's gracious forgiveness. The quotation from Proverbs 3:34 is heavy stuff. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Opposes, resists, is the Greek verb antitasso. Oppose, resist, from anti, opposite, against, and tasso, put or place. Do you struggle with pride? If you don't humble yourself, this passage says that God himself will resist and oppose you. God will stand against you in order to break your pride. On the other hand, he promises special favor for those who are humble. Grace is the Greek noun charis, a beneficent disposition toward someone, favor, grace, gracious care or help, goodwill. Well, let's pause here for discussion question 4 based on 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6. What acts of humility are appropriate for church leaders? How can we discern a person's humility before putting him or her in a place of leadership in the church? What happens when we fail to do this? Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. We want to be exalted now rather than be humbled, but we must wait. And if we are willing to submit to God's discipline of humility, one day he will lift us up. Exalt, lift up, is the Greek verb hypsao, to lift up spatially, lift up, raise high, then to cause enhancement in honor, fame, position, power, or fortune. Exalt. You are a king's kid now. But it doesn't appear like it sometimes. Jesus was the eternal Son of God, but sometimes it seemed untrue. Jesus patiently waited for the right time. Two New Testament passages come to mind, first in Hebrews 12:2. Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. With his eyes firmly fixed on the prize, he endured the humbling shame of the cross because he had a faith that one day he would sit again at the right hand of his Father. We too follow Jesus. We humble ourselves because he humbled himself and set us an example that we might follow in his steps. Then Philippians 2:5-11 reads, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My dear friend, your pride is now an inverse barometer of your faith. The prouder you are now, the less your real belief that God will exalt you when Christ comes. You feel you must exalt yourself or no one will exalt you. Not so. We must humble ourselves and Christ will exalt us in due time. Leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ is a serious matter. Perhaps you became a church pastor, elder, officer, or board member for the wrong motive. But Peter calls you to your best, to the victory of willingness over compulsion, eagerness over greed, servant leadership by example over exercising power over people, submission to the chief shepherd rather than building one's little kingdom, and humility over self-exaltation. Let's pray. Father, I pray for the leaders of your congregations around the world that are studying this passage. I ask you to humble each of us and teach us to lead with the humility you desire. Where we have character flaws, Lord, convict us and heal us that we might continue to serve rather than be disqualified. Thank you for your mercy in Bible days to our fellow elder Peter. You not only forgave, but healed his sin and used him. Do the same for us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.